All right, extend greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful that He has granted us the privilege to serve Him, to reveal Himself to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We thank You for all that You do for us. Thank You for revealing Yourself to us, Father. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear. Fill us with Your Spirit. And give us wisdom. As we open Your Word, Father, live our lives. God, again, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Verse 34. What I want to talk about this morning is when people talk about we're saved by grace, or we're saved by faith alone, and then there's other people that talk about works, and there becomes a battle between those two, that it's faith alone, and some people talk about their works. And there is in this battle, just like everything else, the truth is lost. And many people try to find a balance, that there's just a balance in between these two points, and that's where the truth is. But that also misses the mark too. You have the two different sides or two different elements. One's on this side, one's on this side, and then there's somebody always in the middle trying to bring the sides together, thinking that there is a balance in between those, that they want to just strike a compromise so that everybody can work together and be happy. But that also misses the mark. I want to read this morning. We know the verses that, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of your own, not of works. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of works, lest any man should boast. Get the idea there. Everyone is familiar with that verse. And people stand on that. But then you read in the Bible of how we're going to be judged, every man according to his deeds. I want to just read this here a little bit. We'll read a couple different places and talk about this. It says, opening his mouth, verse 34, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. That's what I want to talk about this morning. The one who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. It talks about Cornelius here, that he, in verse 31 it says, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. In the King James it says, your good works have been remembered before God. And that's what an alms is. Alms are, is good works. But verse 35 says, but in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. We try to figure all this out. We use our theology to try to come to what's right. But the simple fact is, the simple truth is, that in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. That's who God is looking for. Not the theologian that can explain everything, but the man who fears God and does what is right. Romans chapter 2, we'll read a little more. Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you, who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? In this conflict of faith and works, or our own righteousness, and usually the people that have works begin to condemn those who don't. They look down upon others. They develop a righteousness that is despised by most people. And that's the problem with trying to be one way or the other. The theologians also develop this righteousness that, because of what they've learned, they also look down on others. They scoff at people trying to work. And most of the time, the example they see is some self-righteous individual that's lifting himself above everyone else and condemning everyone else. And so the one with the theology looks on that person and scoffs and looks down on them and condemns them. And they do just exactly what these verses are saying. They wind up being the judge instead of he that fears God and does what's right. That's the danger of just doing what's right. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. He was talking about those who did such things, referring to Romans chapter 1. And he gave the whole list of all the bad things that they were doing. But now he's talking about these righteous people. That whether their righteousness is because of their correct theology, or their righteousness is because of their wonderful good works. He says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. You know, whenever we talk about deeds, you know, sometimes we just think about going around and doing good things. But love, mercy, patience, kindness are deeds as well. So often we have religion without those things. And that is loathsome in the Lord's eyes. But God will render to every man, to each person according to his deeds. Each one of us are going to be standing before the Lord And our life will be judged independently of how anyone else does anything. There's no room for us to become a judge ourselves and be looking down on others with this heart of condemnation. There's right and wrong, and there's nothing at all wrong with seeing and saying what is right and wrong. Today, in this society we live on, if you just merely mention something, it's always followed with, "I'm not judging." Because people are so sensitive. And I mean, when I say sensitive, I don't mean sensitive to goodness. I mean sensitive to evil. Because it's so prevalent in their own hearts that their own heart condemns them at the mere mention of sin or the mere mention of something that's wrong. It all comes crashing in on them, and everything goes dark, and everything goes ballistic, because you're judging me, you're condemning me. A righteous man doesn't get offended when he hears about wrong. He faces those things. An unrighteous man explodes whenever someone talks about wrong. That's why society today is so sensitive. And like I say again, it's not a sensitive in a good way. They're sensitive in good and they're sensitive in evil. God's looking for men who are sensitive to hearing His voice. And He says some hard things, but they don't get all offended about it. They don't get all up in arms about it. They're sensitive that people can't even say or talk about sin or say mention a word about sin. People just get all upset and got all offended. When we recognize that each one of us will, and we are sensitive to God's will, that each one of us will be judged according to our own deeds. We may see wrong, we may call wrong out, but we know that we're going to stand an account of our own deeds. It's not our place to put leverage against someone else on sin. To exalt ourselves. To be a judge, I've thought about it this week. How difficult it is as humans to be a judge. To have to try to discern what's really happened. Knowing that whatever you pronounce for that person, that if there's a little bit of innocence in there, and you put them in jail, or you put them to the death sentence, how severe and how hard that is would be to make decisions like that. And yet, often, religious people are condemning people to hell in their own judgment of them. And how difficult it would be, just on a natural sense, for a man to be thrown in jail for a couple of years and find out he was innocent. And yet we pronounce judgments, or we make decisions, or we cut people off, or we separate ourselves from people, condemning them in our own minds and in our own hearts that they're separated from God. And if we're wrong in our own minds, what we've done, Jesus talks about what we've done, we'll receive ourselves. That's the way we'll be judged ourselves. For those verse 7, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey a righteousness, wrath and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. I'm going to stop right there. God is good. And that can be, we take that as a positive thing. But His goodness also can be a very negative thing when we're on the other side of that. God is merciful. God is faithful. God is full of grace. But when we're outside of those things, that goodness turns evil upon our own heads. These verses that we've talked about talk about doing good. The verses that the boys had this morning talked about men who were faithful. And we see their example. These men that were just doing what they were supposed to be doing. And they were just faithful. And we look at that as a good example of just being diligent in our responsibilities. Gideon, he was just, I think he was treading out grain or something, and God found him. And He used him mightily. The other examples that were given were men, were just David. Whenever he was overlooked by his brothers, and he just remained faithful, being on the outside, being put on outside, because he was just the little runt there. But he just stayed faithful. And we see those examples. But that's not why God called them. That's what I want to bring out, the point. That is not why God called them, just because they did their chores faithfully. That is not why God was able to use them, just because they were faithful in their chores. God was able to use them because they were listening to God. And part of their listening to God was doing their chores. See, that's the difference. That's where the battle, why you just can't find a balance in the middle. Because there's another element there. And it's spelled out. It's called faith. But it's also called hearing God. It's not good enough that you can just perform perfectly. And you'll be judged by your deeds perfectly. God is looking for people who will hear His voice. How many times does the Bible say, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear"? It's not just the righteous man that's just plodding along, doing everything perfect and doing everything right, and even being patient and loving with everyone else. There's something else there. There's hearing the voice of God. You know, we talk about these people that hear God's voice. Moses, a burning bush. It wasn't because it was a miracle. It was because Moses was able to discern and hear that this is God calling us to do this. The Apostle Paul got knocked off his donkey. And the Bible says, they all saw the bright light, but only Paul heard the message. They all heard a voice, But only Paul heard the message. You see, the faith works battle. People get caught up in all the battles and they lose the war. Because the war is men hearing, following the Lord. These men that were called, they didn't create something on their own so that they would appear to be following the Lord. They didn't just try to do something and be busy because it looked right. They were faithful because God had not told them to do anything other yet. And they waited until He did. Most of the time, probably, well, the examples are they were shocked that God would even use them because they had already given up on themselves. They'd given up on their lofty dreams of being used. But they just stayed faithful. Cornelius' prayers were heard. How many times had he prayed? How often had he prayed? They weren't heard. They seemed unheard. But God was listening to a man who was listening for God. And as he was listening, praying, he was doing good to all around him. Not because he thought that he was earning merit or gaining favor, but because it was right. Acts chapter 14. Verse 20. Well, it's verse 19. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas and Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystia and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. I think this is where we realize that we're in a battle. As long as we're fighting the wars, there's not much tribulation to go through. There's not much faith to go through. We can pick battles all day long. We can fight with anybody we want to on doctrine, on manner of life. But you get faith, and you'll begin to learn tribulation. Jesus, remember, was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He didn't look like much to the world, but he knew tribulations. He knew grief. He knew sorrow. You don't get that because you're on a mountain in your prayer closet all day long. You get that many times because you're not hearing from God. You haven't heard anything. We talked about last week about Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The religious people would never say anything like that, because that would show they didn't have faith. They're going around praising, thanking the Lord, thinking they got everything going just right. But remember, we talk about the living waters, the hope. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Continue in the faith. And that reminded them that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy. We just ask You to help us to be faithful to You, bring glory to You. Lord, to be a light in this world, Father. Again, we thank You in Jesus' name.
Prayer to God, begin to ascend, and once again. pray.